Welcome to the GC Podcast, a podcast to help you develop into the healthiest ministry leader you can be by sharing practical ministry experience. Here's your host, Anthony Mullins.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the latest episode of GC Podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Mullins, and today I am flying solo. It's a bit like when Celine Dion sang All By Myself, and I'm not singing it for you, but this is a good thing, and let me tell you why. I have the honor and privilege of not only introducing Kara Garrity as this month's guest, but also as your new GC Podcast host starting in January 2022. This is the second time I've had the thrill of passing a baton of ministry off to Kara to watch her run her race. Kara works in the GCI home office as a development coordinator for the denomination, which gives her unique insight into the development of ministries and leaders, which is the focus of this podcast. She will be outstanding as your host, and I have no doubt she will take the podcast to new heights. Go, Kara, go. Now, as for me, I have thoroughly enjoyed being your host these past 2 years. What fun we've had. But why now? Well, I believe the Holy Spirit has our family in a season of change, and it felt like the best time to transition with GC Podcast 2. By the time this recording is shared in October, my wife Elizabeth and I will have moved to Durham, North Carolina, where our two daughters, Sarah and Leanna, either work and or live. It will be a gift to our lives to be closer to our loved ones. But there's more. We have strongly sensed the Spirit has been drawing us into planting a new GCI church in Durham. This comes after months of prayers, conversations, and confirmations along the way, and I'm excited about what's ahead. But if I'm being perfectly honest, I'm a little apprehensive too. The average church planter in the United States is 35 years of age. Me? I'm the ripe old age of 50, so comparatively, I'm a senior citizen in the church planting world. Of course, there are strengths with being older, a little more seasoned in ministry, but I would greatly appreciate your prayers. As I have grown fond of saying and praying, have your way, Lord Jesus Christ. All right, that's enough about the transitions, so let's get on with this month's podcast. Kara talks about the role of the cross-generational care coordinator in the Faith Avenue. Are you new to the idea of a cross-generational care coordinator? Don't fret. No worries. Kara will explain what it's all about. So let's listen to my interview with Kara Garrity. Hello, friends, and welcome to the latest episode of GC Podcast. This podcast is devoted to exploring best ministry practices in the context of Grace Communion International Churches. I'm your host, Anthony Mullins, and it's my honor to welcome this month's guest, Kara Garrity. Kara is the development coordinator for GCI, not only in these United States, but around the world. And a significant part of her role will be working with ministry training center coordinators to recruit, develop, and send the next generation of leaders in our denomination. Kara, thank you for joining the pod, but before we get into the topic at hand, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what's good in your life right now?
Yes, well, thank you for having me, Anthony. A little bit about myself and what's good in my life right now is kind of wrapped up all into one. I just moved down to Charlotte from the Boston area where I've lived my whole life, where I served as a GCI intern and pastoral resident with Pastor Dyshawn Mills in our Waltham congregation up there just outside of Boston. And so as I've entered this development coordinator role, I've moved down to Charlotte. And so that's been a new and exciting, a good thing in my life, getting used to, you know, the new grocery stores down here and all of that. So that's been a good thing. You know, and I moved with my two cats and dogs, so they've adjusted, which is also good. And I'm just happy to be here and to be working with this amazing team of GCI folks.
Well, now that you've moved to North Carolina, are we going to get you talking Southern sometime soon?
You know, time will tell. Only time will tell. But I still drink my Dunkin' Donuts, so I'm holding on to Boston as strongly as I can.
All right. Well, today we're going to be talking about the role of the cross-generational care coordinator. And yes. I think we've got to start with the basics. What in the world is a cross-generational care coordinator? And how does it support the Faith Avenue, which has been our theme this year?
Yes, absolutely. It's good to, you know, start out square one, make sure we're all talking about the same thing. Well, for me, I start with even just defining what is cross-generational care. And in some ways, it is what it sounds like, right? It's care across the generations. And so that means both encompassing or spanning all of the generations of the church and a reaching across or crossing over between these generational categories, I guess, if you will. And that care piece of cross-generational care, to me, has to be defined in Jesus Christ, because wholeness is in Him, right? He is our true humanity. So we can't understand care apart from Jesus, apart from who He is, who He's made us to be, and who He is transforming us into. And so a simple way that I like to think of the care piece of cross-generational care is discipleship. It's engaging and creating spaces for disciples to be made for transformation in Christ. And so cross-generational care is creating those spaces of discipleship for all generations in the church. And that coordinator piece, the cross-generational care coordinator, is the church leader who pays particular attention to the cross-generational care, the discipleship across generations within the life of the church. And they coordinate those pieces so that we're bringing intentionality. We're not waiting for cross-generational discipleship to happen on accident. And coordinator means what it sounds like, but I think that it's important to highlight that piece. The coordinator doesn't actually need to do everything, right? They're maybe overseeing the cross-generational care and rhythms within the church to identify where the connections are being made, where new connections need to be made, where growth is happening, where it needs to be focused on a little bit more growth or new kinds of growth, and then connecting people in to facilitate the opportunities and spaces for cross-generational care. And so I think that's an important piece. One coordinator can't and doesn't need to do it all. But again, we have our team-based ministries, right? So they're able to coordinate and bring people in together to facilitate these different opportunities for cross-generational care within the church. And then that last piece, it supports the Faith Avenue, because if we think of care as discipleship, the Faith Avenue is all about discipleship, right? It's about our journeys as disciples together as the church. And so we're bringing intentionality in cross-generational care to discipleship for all generations. And, you know, we could ask, well, discipleship is discipleship, right? Why does it have to be cross-generational? I really believe that God gives us vision to tear down these dividing walls, right, that we experience on this side of eternity. And I believe that age and generations is one of them. But we're united in Christ. And so we're able to come together fully and robustly as the body of God of all generations. And research actually shows that cross-generational ministry is beneficial in the long term for the long-term discipleship of everyone that's involved, not just one particular age group. And so it is one way that we can bring support to the meaningful discipleship within our congregations.
You know, I was thinking about cross-generational care, and as a follow-up question, Kara, I'm wondering, just thinking about the context of our local churches, there may be listeners thinking, well, sure, we'd love to do cross-generational care, but we're all about the same generation here, same age. Does the coordinator play any role in terms of engagement in the community and engagement with, say, the younger generation and doing some recruiting? How do you see that playing out in your minds?
Absolutely. I think that they can. And that's, again, where we come back to team-based ministry, right? Because if everyone in your congregation is the same generation or maybe two generations, and you're desiring to move towards reaching more generations, inviting more generations into the life of your church, that is going to start connecting with the love avenue, right? Being present in your neighborhood, building relationships in the neighborhood, people who aren't already or yet part of the gathering church community. And so there's space for collaboration because you have the cross-generational care coordinator paying attention. So, you know, what's the health level of our cross-generational discipleship? And so they may be able to have a conversation then with their Faith Avenue champion and the Love Avenue champion to say, you know, we're really missing these generations in the church. And we believe that we would be a better representation of who Jesus has made his church to be if we were more intentional about creating spaces for them and bringing them in. How can we use this desire for a robust cross-generational experience to inform maybe one of the activities that happens in the community, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe an activity within the Love Avenue that quarter focuses specifically on connecting with that generation, right? Building relationships with that generation. So that's where, I mean, team-based, we've got to have it, right? Because you don't always start with, you know, the end of the line where you're hoping to go in terms of the robustness of cross generational experience.
Yeah, that's good. And so as we think about hopeful outcomes, as you just addressed, how do you see the cross-generational care coordinator complementing the overall GCI vision of healthy church?
Yes, that's a great question. I mean, first and foremost, foundationally, healthy church is disciple. And as I've already said, cross-generational care is a discipleship ministry, and it's a way of discipling that has proven long-term benefits for the depth and maturity of the discipleship journey. And so, you know, it's one way that we're able to disciple as a healthy church. I also believe that healthy churches reflect the kingdom, right? And the kingdom of God is inclusive of all ages. I think of, you know, in Acts chapter 2, that section that we call sometimes like the fellowship of believers, right? They didn't say, well, you know, they all came together and worshiped the kids in this corner and the seniors in this corner and the middle-aged in this corner and the young adults in that, right? So I believe that when we grow in our experiences of cross-generational care and our ministry of cross-generational care, our churches become more healthy by better reflecting the inclusivity of the kingdom in terms of age. And then lastly, I believe that cross-generational care produces healthy leaders because it strengthens discipleship within the church community. Yeah. And so when we're intentional about cross-generational care, we have increased opportunities for cross-generational mentoring, including reverse mentoring, where the traditional, you know, model of mentoring of maybe a more seasoned or experienced person mentors a younger, less experienced person. You know, that's the direction of mentoring. Reverse mentoring is when maybe the more seasoned person actually, you know, learns something from the less experienced person. So I think when we're intentional about cross-generational care, we have more of those dynamics of mentoring. We have more opportunities for people to be lifelong learners through things like reverse mentoring, through learning from different generations. And we have a depth of discipleship that we're accessing through this cross-generational community. And then we have more opportunities to actually journey alongside each other, to apprentice one another in ministry, to discern and confirm calling. We have more opportunities to look to. In my role as development coordinator, I think most of my days about how do we support our emergent leaders, right? And so when we have intentional cross-generational care, we have more opportunities to identify and see what God is doing in the lives of emergent leaders, name it, call it out, discern and walk alongside that person so that they're stepping into leadership in response to calling versus just, well, we need leaders for the church, right? So let me put you through this program and plug you in. And so I think in those ways and more, but those ways rise to the top for me about how cross-generational care coordinator is going to complement our vision of healthy church in GCI.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. And I can imagine a pastor or ministry leader listening to this and thinking, okay, we want to do this. We really want to be intentional. So we've got to take it down to the micro. So can you give us a sketch of who might be an ideal candidate for a cross-generational care coordinator in a local church setting? And I'm guessing, Kara, maybe it should be somebody who is caring about all generations. I'm just assuming, but you tell me.
That's a good starting point. Absolutely. I believe a great candidate is somebody who loves Jesus, you know, and is discipleship minded. And they do care about all generations. They care about the holistic formation of all people into Christ-centeredness and Christ-likeness. So not just a surface level caring about all generation, but somebody who cares in the way that the church is called to care, right? Mm-hmm. And then I really believe somebody who is collaborative and team-based, because here's the thing about cross-generational care. You need, the cross-generational care coordinator needs to have an intergenerational team that they're working with, or at the very least, an intergenerational team of consultants from within the church, because we need to include the generations in the decision-making that affects them and their decision and their experience within the church. We can't assume that we know, even though we care about and have friends with people in all generations, that we know what their needs are, what their strengths are. And so somebody who's collaborative and team-based, I think, is going to be really important in the role of a cross-generational care coordinator, because they're going to be able to talk to people of different generations to get their ideas, to understand where they're coming from, to understand their experiences of that church community. And this can happen through focus groups or consultants within the church, through surveys that are well-crafted and designed. And I believe ultimately, even through our leadership teams, I believe that the leadership of cross-generational ministries and opportunities should be cross-generational. So this person really needs to be collaborative and team-based. I think also creative. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just, like, I was thinking something about what you're saying, Kara, and just the role of listening to one another. Because what I heard you say is, instead of one generation making all the decisions for the other generations, even if they're older, further along in life, that it's really important to listen to one another to understand what the needs are. I just think that's a really important point you made.
Yes. And I'll give an example. I know sometimes we can feel like we are, especially for younger people, doing them a favor because, well, they're young and their frontal lobes haven't developed yet. So, you know, it's hard for them to come into the decision-making process. But if we're leading well, we can actually invite them in and walk alongside them in the decision-making process. So in our Waltham congregation, when I was serving as a pastoral resident there, there came a time where we began rethinking our Sunday school structure and our youth ministry, because the youth were getting older. They were in high school, and so their needs were different. And so instead of just us in other generations than theirs coming around the table to decide and to presume maybe or to guess at what was best for them, we brought them into a meeting, right? A brainstorming meeting. And it was provisional. We said, you know, we're just coming together for ideas, but we want to hear you. We want to hear about your experience, what you would like your experience to be in the church, what you believe that you need to develop as a follower of Jesus. And from that conversation, we were able to make decisions that everyone felt good about in transforming the way that we structured our youth and Sunday school ministries that we wouldn't have been able to come up with on our own if we hadn't consulted them. And so young people can do it. And you can help guide them in that process. And then even that becomes an opportunity to mentor and apprentice and prepare emergent leaders, right? Because they're starting to participate in the shaping of the life of the church. And there are absolutely ways to do that with all folks and generations. And of course, you know, we're wise with that too. I mean, don't misunderstand me and bring together a group of four-year-olds and then give them exactly what they ask for, but you can bring them together and listen to them and care for them and listen to the things that are spirit-led and insightful in what they have to say. So absolutely, we need to be intergenerational and not make decisions for cross-generational ministry out of just one generation or even two within the church.
That's good. And what I'm going to ask you next, you've already touched on. So what I'm going to invite you to do is just rub it in a little bit more for us. So in a team-based model of ministry, you know, we envision the cross-generational care coordinator collaborating with the Faith Avenue champion. Can you give us some practical steps of what that might look like when it's working well?
Yes. I mean, you know, collaboration is dynamic, and so this will look different in different places, and there will be, you know, ebbs and flows, but I believe that consistent communication is, square one, right? You got to start there. The Faith Avenue champion and the cross-generational care coordinator need to be meeting regularly, whatever that rhythm is, to communicate and collaborate. The Faith Avenue champion can be a source of support and resource to the coordinator, providing that high challenge and high support, and can be a bridge to facilitate alignment and integration and synergy within the life of the church so that we're not operating in silos or on our own little vacuums and corners. So, you know, I think that as the Faith Avenue champion and the cross-generational care coordinator are meeting in provisional brainstorming stages, right? Insights that come out of there can be brought to the other aspects of the Faith Avenue. If we, maybe have a brainstorming meeting and we say, you know, actually, we think it would be great if we had one connect group that was cross-generational, that's going to be an idea in the provisional stage that's going to have to come to the connect group coordinator, right? And the Faith Avenue champion can help coordinate that, can help facilitate those conversations so that we have integration and synergy, that we're not operating in our own little corner. And then the appropriate people can be brought into that conversation to move into the planning stage and then the promise stage, right? So we're bringing all the right people to the table to have conversations that impact the quality of cross-generational care. And that's the same with facilitation across the avenues too, not just within the Faith Avenue, because the experience of cross-generational care in the church is at some point going to intersect with the Hope and Love avenues, because the avenue ministries don't operate in isolation. And so it may be that the Faith Avenue champion helps to coordinate with the Love Avenue champion, because we want to have an intergenerational community service, right? Or a community event where all of the generations are coming together in ministry with one another. And so there's going to be that collaboration that can be facilitated there. And then there's also the practicalities where the Faith Avenue champion and the cross-generational care coordinator are going to collaborate. Things like budgets, supplies, and scheduling, so that we're not scheduling some cross-generational opportunity the same day that the church life coordinator scheduled the church barbecue, right? And so that's another way that collaboration can happen, is through those logistics and administrative pieces.
Yeah. So I'm a pastor, local church, and I've got a Faith Avenue champion, and the team's being built out, including the cross-generational care coordinator. How in the world do I know as a pastor that it's operating in a vibrant and healthy way beyond what you've already said?
Yes. I do believe, again, we need to have discernment in our contexts and be discerning and sensitive to what the Spirit is doing in our midst. And so I don't necessarily want to say, you know, these are the specific markers that you have to measure of success or not. But I do believe that there are characteristics that we will start to see develop within the life of our church. One thing I think we'll begin to see as cross-generational care begins growing in health and is consistently functioning healthily is we will see holistic and depth of discipleship for all ages, so that we'll be caring for the whole person and their formation and transformation in Christ. And so I want to give an example of why I highlight, or two examples actually of why I'm highlighting that holistic discipleship for all ages. Very often, if we're going to follow the trope of youth ministry, it's going to focus on fun, right? Engaging through fun. And it's going to focus on what they can understand with their minds, right? Like, we're learning Bible stories and we're learning, you know, things about who Jesus is. And so we're focusing on that cognitive understanding. And that's actually one of the reasons why we often have age-specific ministries, is because we want it to be age-appropriate according to the cognitive and sometimes emotional capacities of somebody who is at a different life stage, right? And so youth, we're often focusing on the fun or the cognition, not always as much on the participation and the experience that they have within the whole body of the church. And so, are we caring for them holistically, or are we just focusing on a couple of key pieces that we think are best for their age group and leaving some others behind? And I want to maybe plug this book really quickly. I've been reading this book called Intergenerate, as well as Engage All Generations. And it's a series of articles that are written by a bunch of people who have been spending a lot of time thinking about how do we create cross-generational intergenerational ministries. And so I was really challenged in reading one of the articles that, you know, when we're focusing only on the cognitive formation of our young people, well, what about them learning to worship corporately our great God with the entire body? What about their formation in meaningful rituals that the church does with one another, participation in ministry? So are we holistically allowing them to develop, or focusing just on, you know, something that we think is stereotypically most important for the age group? And we can see the same thing with seniors, right? Senior ministries, I think if we were to see trends, they would often focus on physical needs, right? Like, maybe we pick up groceries for somebody who with limited mobility, or we do home visitations because somebody has limited mobility. But what about their continued discipleship, right? What about the continued contribution of their gifts into the church? Do we have a ministry where, a seniors ministry, where we invite our seniors who are no longer mobile but still have their gift of encouragement to write letters and notes to people in the church? Like, this is what I mean by holistic. Are we kind of hyper-focusing on just these pieces of the person based on their age or their generation? Or are we thinking a little bit more creatively? So when we're cross-generational and growing in those rhythms and health, I think we'll start to see more of that holistic discipleship for all ages, because we're coming together and balancing out you know, those different things that we think are highlighted for each age group, but we're coming together and really giving and taking with one another, so that we're going to be less likely to hyper-focus on just one piece of the person depending on their age. And that gets to this other piece. I think that we'll have a balance between, I see cross-generational care happening, being expressed in two ways, age-specific and age-inclusive. So the age-specific would be more like, you know, the classic youth ministry or Sunday school, or the classic seniors ministry or young adult ministry, right? Age inclusive would be that those opportunities for the generations to really come together meaningfully with one another and to build meaningful relationships across generations. And so I think a healthy cross-generational care within a church will have a balance between the two, because there are some times where it's beneficial and meaningful and appropriate to gather with your peers. But if we stop there, I really believe that we're stopping short of where God has called us to be as a church, who God has called us to be as a church. So I think we'll also see a growth in this age-inclusive kind of cross-generational ministry, because being a church for all ages doesn't mean having to have a ministry for every single decade, right? Like a programmed ministry for every decade. It means being intentional for the inclusion and deep relationship building. It means asking ourselves questions about, are our only opportunities to gather, quote unquote, church-wide kickball events, right? Where maybe our 85-year-olds can't participate, or are they only, are our only social events in the life of the church? Wine tasting, where our young people can't come, right? It's starting to think more beyond just programming for each decade of life, but are we being intentionally inclusive so that we can live life on life across generations? And I think this is really going to lead to an intergenerational community with a culture of care. To me, I see that as this is our taste of the kingdom when we grow in health and cross-generational ministry, that it's not just about the programming, but it's the DNA of the church where generations are actually caring deeply for one another, even without being told to, right? People will actually reach out to and care for the young people, not just because they signed up for a mentoring program or are the youth pastor, but because they care for the young people. And people will invite over maybe older, widowed people in the church, not because that's a ministry of the church, but because we're Christ's body, the church. And so I think that's really what we'll start to see as we grow in health. So those are the characteristics that I would be looking out for if I was a pastor and a cross-generational care coordinator.
Yeah, I think what you just said about age inclusive is so vitally important. Thank you. That's worth the price of admission right there. And let me ask you to go back to the book resource that you mentioned. What is the name of the title again, and who are the authors? And we'll make sure to place it in the show notes as well. But if you would give that one more shout out.
Absolutely. So the first is called Intergenerate, Transforming Churches Through Intergenerational Ministry. And it's edited by Holly Catterton Allen. It's a series. The articles are written by a bunch of different folks. And then the second is Engage All Generations, a strategic toolkit for creating intergenerational faith communities. And this one is edited by Corey Seibel. Again, a bunch of different articles. The second one, a little bit more of, practices that a church could try out, and the first a little bit more, you know, the theory and theology and reasoning behind it. I found them to be very challenging. When I read it, I was like, what? We really are often only discipling the minds of our young people. What about their souls and spirits, you know? Yeah. And so I would highly recommend those for our cross-generational care coordinators. And I mean, of course, you know, read with a critical mind, right? We need to sift through things. So not every single thing in there, I think, maybe appropriate for a local GCI congregation. But of course, I mined some really, really meaningful and challenging insights from both.
Yeah. So you just mentioned practices, and there may be those listening going, okay, I like what I'm hearing, not only the what and the how, but the why of doing this, of making new disciples and discipling well those that we are charged to care for in our churches. So what are some of the programmatic, maybe activities you would recommend just to get going, to get a cross-generational care ministry up and running?
Yes, even before I would recommend some considered activities, because I don't want to get myself in trouble, right? I don't know your context. I don't necessarily know what's going to work. So I would recommend thinking about your process, right? Thinking about recommending as you choose how to move forward and get things going through activities and programs, spend some time in discernment, reflection, consultation, and collaboration to contextualize what a cross-generational care ministry or activity could look like in your context, to be in alignment with how the Spirit is moving in your midst, because not the same thing is going to work everywhere, right? And often we want to jump in because we are excited, and that's a good thing. And sometimes we jump in a little too soon and we're copycatting what someone else is doing versus being really mindful and discerning what God is doing in our midst. And so I think some important questions in the process to even begin with is, who is present in the church? And cycle back to your previous question, who's present in the community, right? Who's in your neighborhood? And then what are the needs and assets of the different generations that are present in the gathering church community and in the neighborhood? where you meet. And how can you connect to generations to care for one another, to meet needs through the use of their assets, right? Because I think that even age-specific ministries, we can begin to make them a little bit more cross-generational, because oftentimes one generation has what the other needs. And so instead of just making one ministry with one leader and minister, well, if we bring the generations together, then there's a ministry happening out of the entire life of the church, not just the programs. And then the question, how can you make spaces for all generations to be included and to build meaningful relationships? I think starting with those reflections and discernments in consultation with an intergenerational team, I think would be really a meaningful place to start. And then ask, you know, how can you bring more cross-generational components to age-specific ministries, maybe that already exist within your church, maybe ones that you are thinking about starting or trying out. And then I think another thing to consider, we can be creative about this. It doesn't always need to be a new activity or program to start growing in cross-generational care. It could be a change to a current rhythm that you already have. So one example is that shift in the youth ministry and Sunday school that I mentioned earlier. One of the things that we did is our young people wanted to be in the service with the other members of the church. They wanted to worship together with the entire church body. And so we didn't actually need to create a new activity or program for them to do that. We just changed the times and the frequency that they went and did a Sunday school type activity during the service, right? And so there's some ways that you can get started even with that, kind of being intentional to make changes to rhythms that already exist. In terms of specific activities, I think starting with church life kind of activities is a great way to start having fun together across the generations, right? Have a church game night, have a barbecue where you do something in the structure of the activity where people can't automatically self-isolate according to their ages, right? Maybe you assign teams for the games and you make it a competition. Maybe you have a scavenger hunt during the church barbecue where in order to win the prize, you have to have a member on your team from every generation, right? Get creative with how are we coming together to have fun? And then think about, you know, I think mentoring is huge. So how are we encouraging rhythms of mentoring? I think is a really great way to start cross-generational care. And sometimes it works if it's programized. And sometimes it's just encouraging a shift in culture to have more organic opportunities to mentor. And then, you know, I'll give one example. Actually, I've mentioned this before, I think in an Equipper article. But then you can have like one-off activities or events that happen, right? Back in Waltham, what we did when I was an intern for the young adults ministry is we had an event that we called Adulting 101, because we spent some time with young adults hearing needs. And one of the needs was in our area, public schools didn't teach things like car mechanics or accounting and balancing your budget anymore or sewing up a tear in your jeans. They didn't have those kind of home ec and shop classes anymore. And so young adults were graduating college and realizing, like, I don't know how to put windshield wiper fluid in my car, right? And then we looked at our church, our gathering church community, and saw, well, we actually have people who are like very experienced in all these areas. So we were like, why don't we bring the generations together to share with one another and to build relationships? And so, you know, we brought folks together to learn from one another about things like cars and taxes and all of that. But so that was the activity. But what happened as a result was the building of relationships. And so I think when we're being reflective of our own context, we can come up with creative ideas like that. And then there may be one-off activities like that, or maybe things that happen once or twice a year. There may be some activities or programs that you incorporate as consistent rhythms within the church. You know, maybe it is a mentoring program where people are meeting consistently. Maybe it is a connect group that you choose to be intergenerational, right? You know, I think making sure that you're intentional at the start of the year or truly the end of the previous year about what will the rhythms of cross-generational opportunity be the following year, a balance between what are our kind of one-off events and activities and consistent activities that will be happening. It's really just bringing people together. You know, the Holy Spirit's going to do the rest, I believe. But if we're intentional about bringing people together, that's where the gold is at.
Yeah. Well, I've asked some really great questions, if I may say so myself, but I know I probably didn't ask everything that needs to be asked. What else would you like to add to our discussion?
Yeah, I think, you know, just a last couple encouragements I would have is be open and creative. I think thinking cross-generationally is something not only in GCI, but across the world that we are having to rethink, right, and renew, because the church in all kinds of contexts has in more recent history come into these patterns of siloing our ages with age-specific ministries, right? And so I think especially that piece of cross-generational care where we're bringing people together, it's new. So be open, right? Give yourself permission to be open and creative, to collaborate, to try new things, to test run things, because maybe the first thing you try isn't going to work. Right? So maybe do test runs and pilots to explore and discover, investigate what works with your local church, what God is doing in your local context, and be willing to learn from one another and grow along the way. And I would also encourage our pastors and Faith Avenue champions and cross-generational care coordinators to cast this vision and bring people along with you. Because I think in most of our contexts, developing a robust cross-generational care rhythm and ministries is going to require some level of change. And so change management is really hard. It's a little bit easier when you bring people alongside you and cast vision. If you tell them why we're making changes, why it's important to be cross-generational, if you cast a vision that points us and orients us to Jesus and his kingdom, I think that that is going to allow people to believe truly that we're doing these hard things of change because it's worth it, because we're part of something bigger and better than ourselves. We're part of Jesus's ministry and his body and his kingdom, not just because some new cross-generational care coordinator decided they wanted things to be different, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to be really, really important, is to bring everyone along. Because again, this is cross-generational care, right? We're wanting everyone to come along anyhow. So bring them through the process with you. Let them be excited about it. Let them be part of your focus group and to shape it, be part of shaping it so that we can really be living together in a vibrant church life, a discipling church community where all ages are continually having opportunity to be discipled and formed into Christ-likeness.
Yeah, you've given us some outstanding insights, Kara, and a lot of meat to chew on. And I felt like even just listening to you, I need to be taking notes as I consider how this plays out in my local context. So thank you so much. But we're not done with you, because you just said, I heard you,
yes,
that we need to have fun in cross-generational care. And since we're of different generations here, I consider 7 rapid-fire questions to be an example of fun cross-generational care.
Yes.
So here's what we want you to do.
We're just good modeling.
That's right. That's exactly it. So the first thing that comes to your mind is the answer we want to these 7 rapid-fire questions. Here we go. One quirky thing about you.
I love alpacas. Like, I really love alpacas.
Wow. I don't even know what to do with that, but go to the next question. Which is the better city, Boston or Charlotte?
Oh, no, I'm going to get in trouble. I have to say Boston.
No, you didn't.
It's my heart. It's my heart. It's my home. And we have all the winning teams, so why would I not say Boston?
Wow. If you could get yourself anything, what would you get?
Get myself anything? Like lots of vacation. I like to travel, so like vacations. Mm. Like a free airplane pass for the rest of my life. That's it. That's the thing.
Okay. If you owned a boat, what would you call it?
I would call it Docky because I get motion sick on the water, so it would stay on the dock. It would be grounded.
And you'd just be hanging out on the land with your alpaca. So if you were running for political office, what would your campaign slogan be?
Ooh, that's fun. It'd have to be something fun. Like, vote Kara. We'll have fun on the journey or something. I don't know.
Don't quit your day job. All right, your least favorite type of music.
Ooh, like dubstep.
Interesting. Finally, when under stress, what do you do to find peace?
Ooh, I know that I just said that I get sick on water, but I love sitting next to water. Mm. Finding a good, quiet body of water to sit next to you and be in peace with my God.
Yeah, no, that's really good. Kara, you are a beloved child of God. Thank you for joining us today. And as is our practice here at GC Podcast, we like to end the show with prayer. So would you pray over our pastors and churches and ministry leaders, please?
I would love to. Let's pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are so thankful that you are a good God, that you are present with us. And we thank you that you are a God that is drawing all people into your life, into your love. And we thank you for the opportunity, the great privilege to participate in your ministry to do so. And so I specifically ask today that you would bless and inspire all of our cross-generational care coordinators in GCI, that you would inspire them to be sensitive to what you're doing, to be discerning how you are drawing all ages, all generations together in your life and in your church and great kingdom. And I pray that you would embolden them to move in step with you, that you would embolden them to think differently, that you would embolden them to cast vision for the church to be more like your church than our some of our cultural contexts where generations could go days and weeks and months or years without interacting with those who are in a different generation with them, God. We ask that we would be a taste of your kingdom, that we would be a safe haven for all generations to come together in meaningful and robust relationship with one another, and most importantly with you, that we would be places of deep discipleship for all generations, and that we would reflect your goodness in doing so. So I ask that you bless us and that you bless our congregations for the ride and the journey, because it may be challenging and bumpy along the way, but we know that it's worth it because the journey is in you and towards you and by you and with you. So we thank you that you'll be faithful to guide us. And we ask all of these things in eager expectation of what you will do in your holy and precious name. Amen.
What a great interview. Kara has a delightful way of encouraging us to be intentional in discipling all generations in our church environments, young and old alike, and spelling out how the cross-generational care coordinator is the one who pays special attention to making sure that happens. I encourage all of our listeners, especially pastors, Faith Avenue champions, to prayerfully consider who might fulfill this important role in your church setting. Well, my friends, On Being is a four-part interactive Connect Group curriculum designed for biblically based, dynamic discussions around being a disciple of Jesus. The four curricula are being a neighbor, being the church, being with Jesus, and being with the Bible. Each curriculum has a facilitator guide and a participant workbook. The feedback we have received regarding On Being has been really encouraging. On Being the Church has now been posted, and you can go find those resources online at resources.gci.org/on-being. If you didn't get that, that's resources.gci.org/on-being, and we'll provide this URL in the show notes. I really appreciate you listening to GC Podcast. If you like what you heard, give us a rating wherever you listen to this podcast. It really does help get the word out and for others to join the conversation. Until next time, keep living and sharing the gospel.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the GC Podcast. We hope you have found value in it to become a healthier leader. We would love to hear from you. If you have a suggestion on a topic, or if there is someone who you think we should interview, email us at info@gci.org. Remember, healthy churches start with healthy leaders. Invest in yourself and your leaders.